Good morning. It's the 22nd of September. Our New Testament reading today is Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis once again. I read. Wherever Jesus went, he drew to him publicans and sinners, men separated from their fellows by their means of livelihood and their way of life. It was one of the Pharisees' greatest problems. They could not understand the attitude of Jesus in allowing these men even to approach him. That he should talk with them and sink to the depravity of accepting their hospitality was horrifying. His wonderful answer that he had come as a physician to tend the sick and must therefore be among them had not satisfied these Pharisees. So developed was their sense of their own righteousness, and so ingrained their contempt for these people, that the simile seemed lost on them. They could only understand the righteousness which was marked by separation from sinners. They had no difficulty in appreciating the asceticism of the Old Testament prophets, and even that of John the Baptist in the wilderness. But this man encouraged these outcasts from decent society, and whether he was in Judea, Galilee, or even out here in the Jordan Valley, they flocked to him. Now, whilst he was speaking of the demands of discipleship, they had surrounded him. He had even shared a meal with them. The latest example of their aversion led Jesus to a more detailed justification of his attitude than he had yet expressed. We may be thankful for it, because it evoked the three great parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In these human stories, Jesus brought out the wonderful truth that while the Pharisees were murmuring on earth and keeping their distance from these men who had come to Jesus, the Father himself and the holy angels were rejoicing that they who had been lost were now found. Moreover, the further lesson emerges that the position of the sinner who comes to the Father is far happier than that of those who cling to their ceremonial righteousness. They may not have gone astray in any conventional sense, but they have not come to Jesus. There is more joy in heaven for a repentant sinner than for them. The three parables form a beautiful harmony. The first two show the seeking love of God in his Son and in his Church, and the third traces the progress of the responsive love of man towards God. The first parable is a vivid and faithful picture of the true shepherd who, discovering that one of his sheep is lost, dedicates himself to the task of finding it. He does not count the cost. He is undeterred by the weariness of the way, the rocks that bruise his feet, or the thorns which tear his flesh. At last he finds it. Artistic imagination has painted it high up on some well-nigh inaccessible rock, lonely, hungry, and helpless. There is no anger in the shepherd's voice as he calls, no rebuke at the waywardness which has caused him such trouble. He is the shepherd still. He does not drive it back toward the pasture. He does not even call it to follow him. Reaching out, he gently lifts it to his tired shoulders and brings it to the fold amid heavenly rejoicing. In the second parable, the emphasis remains upon the love of God, the importance of those that were lost, and the joy of restoration. And in the third parable, we see the love of God revealed in Jesus, which is the true home of both of the brothers. It is a love which goes out to meet the younger one when he has come to himself and realized the folly and degradation of natural propensities. It is a love which reaches out and welcomes, as we all should know. Thank you for listening.